Kaya FM 95.9. Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome to Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Siwe Fansel, on a Monday evening, Afropolitans. It is a doctor's appointment, and tonight we're focusing on prostate cancer. Have you done your prostate cancer test? I'll be speaking to Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa. He's the head of Department of Urology at the Sifako Makgato Health Sciences University in Pretoria. And I'll also be speaking to Thulani Sibisi, a prostate cancer survivor and previous winner of the Two Oceans Marathon. So do stay tuned for that.
Because a conversation a day is exactly what the doctor ordered. Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan, with me, Cindy C.A. Fansale. On Sidebar Cindy, it is a Monday, and every Monday evening we have a doctor's appointment. This is when you get an opportunity to, you know, call in, speak to a medical doctor in a specific field, and ask as many questions as you can, Afropolitan. So do take advantage of this by calling us on 086-000-959. Tonight's topic is prostate cancer. We are focusing on it, and I'll be joined on the show by Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa. He's the head of Department of Urology at the Sifako Makgato Health Sciences University in Pretoria. And we'll also be joined by Thulani Sibisi. He's a prostate cancer survivor, and he'll be sharing his story of how he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Such topics are important, Afropolitans, and as I said, do take advantage of this opportunity to call in and ask as many questions as you can. It is important for us to be screening for prostate cancer, and this is your opportunity to ask questions. So before I start taking your calls, I'd like to welcome Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa to the show. Dr. Shingai, welcome to Sidebar Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Cindy. How are you?
I'm good. Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
For such an important topic.
So, exactly.
So Dr. Yeah. Shingai, I know that you're also the founding member of the Prostate Cancer Foundation of South Africa. And apart from being the head of Department of Urology at the SMU University in Pretoria. What does the Prostate Cancer Foundation of South Africa do?
I think one of the important things is to remember that cancer, like you've said on many of your shows, is one of the leading causes of death. And we know that prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men generally. Lung cancer is the biggest killer, and you've had discussions about how smoking and things should be dealt with. But the thing is that basically all cancers, I think we need foundations to assist with education mainly. That's what the Prostate Cancer Foundation is mainly dealing with. We try to disseminate information about screening, particularly to people who might not know about cancer. And it sort of like helps to make sure that we promote general good health as well as protection from cancers as well.
And just going back to basics, I think it's always important to start off with definitions, not to assume that people know what we're discussing. So let's just start off with the basics. What is prostate cancer?
Okay. Essentially, the prostate is a small gland. It's like it produces fluid, basically, which are surrounding the pipe for passing urine, which is also called the pipe for ejaculation, which is just below the bladder. And most of what a guy ejaculates is actually not sperm. It's less than 1% of what a guy ejaculates is sperm. Most of what's coming out is stuff made by the prostate and another gland called the seminal vesicle. And because the prostate is sitting down there and it's producing a lot of things that are helping for fertility mainly, that actually is one of the places where people do develop cancer. Mm-hmm. And the biggest issue with it is that the prostate, after the age of 40 in every man, the prostate gets bigger. But as it gets bigger, it can do one of two things, essentially. One of them is that we can become what we call benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is the normal enlargement that everyone gets because of changes in our bloodstream and stuff. And most of that is around the pipe for passing urine, and it can give difficulty passing urine, and then we need to put you on treatment or get things done. But the problem with prostate cancer is that most of the cancers develop on the outside part of the prostate. So only once it's very advanced will you get symptoms like, for example, difficulty passing urine, and it usually spreads to bone, so you can get bone pain and stuff. And once it reaches that stage, basically it's incurable. You have like a five-year survival of about 30% for the cancer. But if we pick it up early, we can actually, it's about 90-95% curable. And how do we pick it up? Essentially, we see you from the age of 40, because particularly in South Africa, because black men are about 5 times more likely to develop cancer than prostate cancer than white men. You need to get it checked from the age of 40. And what we usually do is we do an examination check. We do a blood test called a PSA, or prostate-specific antigen. It's a test which can pick up if there's a possibility of cancer. And we usually have to do what's called a digital rectal examination, where we actually feel the prostate with the finger. It literally takes a couple of seconds.
Mm.
And if you pick it up, if we do that from the age of 40, there's a pretty good chance you'll never die from prostate cancer. And you'll actually be a survivor.
So, Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa, have you seen prostate cancer in patients younger than 40?
Yes, we have. One of the issues, very good question. The thing is that we know that black men particularly have a higher risk of prostate cancer, and we think it's a lot to do with genetics as well as the environment. We know that the genetics of breast cancer, like BRCA, breast cancer gene 1 and 2, are related to prostate cancer as well. And we know that younger black men are more likely to get prostate cancer. And so we have seen a number of patients like that. I think that the important thing for guys is to remember that we as guys are at disadvantage as far as lifestyle goes, because women are much cleverer than us. They go to see their physicians 5 times more than guys. That's one of the reasons why they live 3, 5 to 6 years or longer than men.
Mm.
We need to start taking control of our health. A good friend, Gwala, as you know him, he passed from colon cancer. We have a bit of a pandemic of colon cancers amongst young black men as well.
Mm.
And I think if you remember that you can just a couple of tests need to be done. And I would even encourage guys, especially if you have a family history of anybody who's had prostate cancer or breast cancer in your first degree relatives, to get checked out probably from around the age of 35, to be honest. That's not what the guidelines are saying. But as a general rule, if I do find a patient who has a problem, something similar, a family history like that, I would be more than willing to get the blood test. It's a really relatively cheap blood test, and the examination is pretty simple.
Afropolitans, if you have just tuned in, you're listening to Sidebar with Cindy. It is a doctor's appointment with me, Cindy Fansale. And tonight we're speaking about prostate cancer. Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa, head of urology at the Sifako Makgato University in Pretoria, joins me on the show. And later on, we'll be joined by Uthulani Sibisi. He's a prostate cancer survivor. And he'll be sharing his story of how he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. So, Dr. Shingai, let's speak about, work. So, you mentioned that, women are more likely to be, to pick up pathology earlier. And that's really because we interface with the health system, more often than men do, whether it's to do with reproductive health or other things, but we are more likely to go and see a doctor. So how have you and your team made it easier for men to be screened? I mean, I'll speak from an HIV perspective, where we have some organizations have mobiles that go into the industrial areas and test people at lunchtime outside work. So has your department come up with something similar? Because most times men are just busy, bayasebenza, and they just don't have the time to go to the clinic. So how have you helped?
Well, I'd like to debunk that myth of not having time. Literally, if you go to see your doctor once a year for a checkup, you get your blood pressure, your sugar, you get your rectal examination if necessary, and get your blood test. You can take 5-10 minutes. And the thing is that there are so many outlets to do it. South Africa's got a pretty good health system, to be honest, be it for private or for public. In fact, in private, the access and the treatments are actually probably better than any Western country.
Mm,
and in South Africa, and in public, we're the best in Africa. I can tell you that already. So if you decide to take care of your health, all you need to do is go to your clinic, be it the GP, be it the nurses at the clinic. They'll take your blood test. They'll do your blood pressure. You just need to get the blood test. To be honest, I know a lot of guys are uncomfortable with the rectal examination. And although we as the Prostate Cancer Foundation do, and as part of the Department of Health, do encourage you to have a rectal examination, you're probably not going to miss too many prostate cancers without getting the rectal. So we've done some studies for the psychology of it, and we do know that that's one of the limitations. So if you really don't want to get the rectal examination, provided you're willing to take the chance that you might miss like 3-4% of the cancers, a PSA blood test, which can be done at any clinic for free essentially in South Africa, and the medical aid will always pay for the majority of the PSA tests in private as well. You get that done once a year, you're safe for the year, you can take it easy and relax.
Okay, so let's speak about the digital rectal examination itself, because for the longest time, you know, when you mentioned prostate cancer, there'd be jokes about, you know, having to bend over and your doctor sticking their finger up your rectum. So maybe just talk the Afropolitans through what they can expect if they have to have a digital rectal examination.
Yeah. The rectal examination literally takes maybe 2-3 seconds. We put some gel on a glove, and when we stick it gently into the anus to feel the prostate. Now, I always tell my patients when they say they don't want it that, listen, that's your decision, it's cool. But when you consider that females, if you remember breast cancer, African cancer, again, females is the commonest cancer. But in South Africa and most of Africa, one of the biggest cancers is cervical cancer, the bottom of the womb. Cervix is the thing. And sorry, just to go off topic, please, anybody listening who's got a daughter who is getting around the age of 11 to 15, and maybe, oh, please do get the vaccine,
the majority of the HPV cancers, vaccine. Yeah.
99% of cervical cancers are caused by HPV. The vaccine is super effective. It's very good, and it's one of the pet projects that we are trying to involve ourselves. Now, if you're considering cervical cancer, what females have to go through is they put a cold metal speculum inside the vagina, and then they actually do scrapings to try to see if there's cervical cancer. It takes a couple of minutes, but women are more than willing to do this to protect themselves from dying from it. So for a guy to have a problem with a finger going in the anus for a couple of seconds is really a little bit illogical, but at the same time, as I said, if the guys are particularly are comfortable and they're not willing to get that done, regardless of what we're saying today, then if you're willing to take the chance of the 4 or 5% that might be of nasty cancers that we might not pick up on the blood test, then just at least getting the blood test should be is at least better than having nothing.
So you do have patients who flatly refuse to have the digital rectal examination in spite of you presenting, you know, why it has to be done, why it's important. There are patients that just say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no. You know exactly. We've all been involved in such things in the discussion. But again, we're not being patriarchal. We're not trying to force patients to do things. We give them the information. The information is that it is useful, but they also, at the same time, if they're willing to make that decision, that's perfectly reasonable as well. We can't force anybody to do anything. And I don't really, as I said, most of the data that we've published between us and University of California, South San Francisco, is that it's only about 3-4%. So it's not the worst thing in the world, but you must accept the risk, that the slight risk that you might be missing a nasty cancer if you don't get the digital rectal examination.
086-00-00959 is the number to call. If you have any questions for Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa, Head of Urology at the Sefako Mahato University in Pretoria. And later on, as I said, Afropolitans, we'll be joined by Utshani CBC. He's a prostate cancer survivor. And it's a doctor's appointment tonight, and we're discussing prostate cancer. If you've missed some of the show, please make sure that you catch the podcast. It'll be uploaded tomorrow on kayafm.co.za, FM Rewind, and the podcast should be there. So, Dr. Shingai, what are some of the misconceptions people have about prostate cancer?
That's a brilliant question as well. I think one of the things that people think is that you're always going to find some symptoms or signs or some indication that you're having it, so you can pick it up double quick, like if you go to your doctor after that. The fact of the matter is that guys particularly are a little bit dumb when we come to this. For example, a lot of my patients think that if you've got high blood pressure, you're going to get headaches and feel hot. That's nonsense. We all know that you need to get a test done, but you need to go to your practitioner. Sugar. Oh, no, that we're going to pee more. And that's no. Sugar can have almost no, diabetes can have almost no sign. It needs to be seen by a physician. High cholesterol, which is the blood fat. There's no indications of it. There's nothing that you're going to pick up. And similarly, most cancers don't have significant symptoms until they're advanced. So prostate cancer, as I said, almost, if we're going to pick it up early and cure it, 90% of them, you need to have the test done. Otherwise, they're going to be spread by the time you find them. Similarly, lung cancer, and please, I'm not going to pontificate, but the whole thing of smoking, I mean, we know that smoking increases the risk of essentially every cancer, and lung cancer particularly is a big one. Colon cancer, there's almost no sign, zero, until you are spread as well. And that's why you need to get yourself seen. Usually have at least a test on your stool to make on your to make sure that you don't have it, or have a look into the colon. You need to get seen. The only way you can pick up most cancers is by being seen by a health practitioner. And it doesn't have to be a urologist. It doesn't have to be GPs, nurse practitioners. They're brilliant. They're actually excellent at doing it. It's a quick, simple situation. You're not going to have signs until you're basically dying. So please go and get yourself checked out.
And there's something that comes up on social media, you know, once in a while, where they speak about the number of times that you masturbate and how that can, you know, reduce your risk of developing prostate cancer. So is that fact or is that fiction? I think it starts there. And if it is fact, I'm curious to know.
We're scientists, so we do randomized trials, and the randomized trials are pretty clear, yes, that there are a couple of things that can protect you from cancer, including prostate cancer. Prostate cancer particularly, it is, if you ejaculate between 6.5 times per month, you are at a slightly decreased risk of developing prostate cancer. So the more sex the guy has, usually, and it doesn't have to be with a partner, you can also do it for yourself, and it does decrease it. But mainly we think it's because of inflammation and things that are nasty in the prostate that we're emptying when you're ejaculating. Similarly, there's the story about cooked tomatoes, not fresh tomatoes, but cooked tomatoes, because there's a chemical called lycopene, which is in cooked tomatoes, which do decrease the risk of prostate cancer a little bit. But one of the things, again, as scientists, is we must remember that we have to look at the biases and stuff. That trial, which was done on lycopenes, was actually from Dolman Sante, which is the biggest fruit and veg company in the world, and their biggest seller is canned tomatoes, which are cooked tomatoes, and that's why that's being promoted so much. What that didn't tell you is that if you're in Africa, melons actually have about 100 times more than tomatoes. So if that's what you're looking for, you can do that. There's also the fact that the one of the big issues that we have, I always tell my patients, the biggest killer is not COVID or AIDS or cancer, it's actually stress. And we now know that we've done some data from Italian groups and stuff that if you are put under stress, it's like a chemical. It releases chemicals into your bloodstream, which can cause you high blood pressure, sugar, diabetes, and it can increase your cancer of cancer. So the point is that you have to make sure that you get rid of stress. And I think especially with this COVID thing, people are under so much pressure.
So much.
Guys, go and look. Guys and ladies, please go and look for help. Stress is not a Mickey Mouse condition. It's a massive issue. It can cause lots of problems. Also, just remember, vitamin D can be a little bit helpful, but there's no real tablet that protects you. The most important tablets are no stress, exercise. Exercise protects you from basically every cancer and most of the other conditions that kill us, which are cardiovascular disease. And the exercise doesn't have to be much. It's, again, trial data. We know full well that you just have to do a little bit of high-intensity exercise. And, by the way, sex is a form of exercise. It's good for your heart. So that's also an excuse. And then making sure that you're careful about your calories. And it's not so much about what you're eating. It's about the numbers of calories that people are taking. And you've said this many times. It's just about taking general health will improve your chances of not having cancers and other cardiovascular problems.
We'll continue this conversation, Dr. Shungai Mutambiro, after this. Afropolitans, the number to call is 086-000-959. I'll be back after this.
Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome back to Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Siri Van Sale. It is a Monday evening Afropolitans, and it's a doctor's appointment. I'm talking to Dr. Shungai Mutambiro. He's a urologist, head of urology at the Sifako Makgato University in Pretoria, and also a founding member of the Prostate Cancer Foundation of South Africa. And tonight we're focusing on prostate cancer, and I've learned so much already, Afropolitans, so do make sure that you call in on 086-000-959 if you have any questions. The hashtags on social media are Sidebar Cindy and Kai FM Talk, and of course the podcast will be uploaded on our website tomorrow. So Dr. Shungai, coming back to you, the signs and symptoms of prostate cancer, I'd like us to go through them, you know, in detail so that, you know, Afropolitans know exactly what to look for if they're concerned about prostate cancer.
That's perfect. I think the short answer here is that essentially, if we want to cure your prostate cancer, you need to pick it up before there are any symptoms. So that's why you just need to go and see your physician. But once it starts to get bigger, it can start giving some difficulty passing urine. It can give some blood in the anus and stuff like that. And prostate cancer is particularly keen on going to bones, especially the lower back. And it can give you back pain. It can give you problems with lungs. It can spread to the lungs and to the liver and stuff like that. But the point is that we don't really want to be picking up at that stage. It's still treatable, by the way, even if it's spread in stage four. We still have lots of treatments, but just to put some fear for the guys so that they do go and see their physician, the treatment that we mainly use for cancer, for prostate cancer, which have spread, is that we have to get rid of the man chemical, the testicles, basically, and suppress the man chemical testosterone, because prostate cancers are dependent on testosterone. So essentially, you're going to be castrated if you have spread prostate cancer. So you don't want to get to that stage, because if we pick it up early, there are lots of treatments that we can do, including sometimes doing nothing. We just follow you up and just make sure, because essentially, if you live long enough, you're going to get prostate cancer. But the point is, some of them are not going to be nasty. But you don't know which one is going to be nasty and which one's not going to be nasty. So rather just get yourself checked out. You can then have a discussion about what's going on, make a decision on whether we need to do treatment. And if we do have to do treatments, the treatments are very easy. It's usually about either doing radiation to kill the cancer or removing the cancer. Besides, there are some side effects for some of the treatments, but the point is that most of them are treatable and used, and they can still be, you can still have a perfectly reasonable life, both as a man and for with family.
How does prostate cancer affect your libido? I think that's an important one.
Okay, libido is basically the feeling of having sex, and sex is a very important thing. Please, guys, another side thing, if you're having problems with your sexuality, be it erections or ejaculating too quickly or not feeling sex, please get yourself checked out. We know that sexual dysfunction is actually a risk for heart attack, stroke, loss in limbs. You need to get it checked out. Now, the thing is that the prostate is the most of what the guy is concerned about is his erection. And an erection is basically just a lot of blood in the penis. Just an increase in blood into the penis, into some spongy tissues, and then it doesn't let the blood come out. And the main blood vessels that supply the spongy tissues that make the penis erect, which are called the corpora, are running right next door to the prostate. They're in intimate contact with it. So if you have prostate cancer, first of all, it can affect the amount of testosterone. We know that low testosterone, which does happen after about the age of 30 in many men, is a predisposing factor for nasty prostate cancer. So if you're not feeling like having sex, you've got issues, you should also get that checked out. Similarly, when we do treatments for some types of prostate cancer, it can damage the blood tubes that take the blood to the penis. And that's why it should be picked up early, because if we pick it up early, in about half of the patients, you won't even need any treatment, so there will be no damage. But even if we do get damage to these blood tubes and issues with testosterone levels, and testosterone levels are a big thing. They're actually involved in heart attacks and stuff if you have low testosterone. You need to get it checked out, and it's not just directly related to prostate cancer, but it's related to your general health. And just because we've got a bit of an epidemic of diabetes in South Africa, and again, that's based a lot on calories less exercise. But we know that at least 80% of guys who have diabetes have low testosterone, decreased libido. They're going to have sexual problems. They're also going to get problems with heart attacks, and as I said, you are more predisposed to nasty prostate cancer. So just get yourself checked out in general.
086-000-0959 is the number to call if you have any questions for Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa. We have Matla on the show. Matla, welcome to Sidebar, Cindy. And what questions do you have for the doctor?
Good evening, and good evening to the doctor. I just want to quickly find out, I hear the whole presentation around prostate cancer. Is there a link between prostate cancer and testicular cancer? If the doctor can elaborate on that, and what signs one needs to look out for in terms of testicular cancer. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
And that's an absolutely brilliant question as well. And that is part of the Prostate Cancer Foundation. It's not just about prostate cancer. We also deal with general men's health and testicular cancer. And that's a brilliant question. The testes are the commonest site for cancers in men below the age of 39. So in other words, from around the age of puberty, usually, or even younger, the testicular cancer is the commonest. The good thing about testicular cancer is that it's what we call the poster boy for cancers. Mm-hmm. 95% of them are curable, but you still want to get it early so you don't have to go through chemotherapy and stuff like that. And testicular cancer is it's not a common cancer. It's not as common, far less common than prostate cancer in general. Mm-hmm. But the point is that guys around, at any age, if you feel something funny around the scrotum, your testicles, around the side, then you should get it checked out. But the majority of lumps and bumps that are in the scrotum are actually not in the testicle. They're actually on the side of the testicle, and that's called paratesticular masses. Most of them are not cancers. They're usually things called like spermatoceles or adenomas, which are not cancers as a general rule. But if you have a lump in the testicle itself, which you can pick up from checking yourself once in a while, or even your partner can pick it up because often they'll be able to feel it better than you, then you should get it checked out. We usually do something called an ultrasound, which is like a sound wave thing that picks up, and it's about like 100% accuracy. If we do find it early, it usually doesn't require anything more than just removing a bit of the cancerous lump. Even if it's spread, it's usually, as I said, 95% of the time curable. And but the thing is that one of the good things for, at least in Africa, is where we do know that, unlike with prostate cancer, where black guys are far more likely to get cancer, more likely to die from it, we're about 10 times less likely as black guys to develop testicular cancer, so it's much less likely that we're going to have a problem. But the thing is, it's a very important question. There's no direct link between prostate cancer and testicular cancer. There are some genetic underlying things that's not really that important. Mm. But if you've got a patient with that testicular cancer, the biggest issue is that often they are put on radiation and chemotherapy. That predisposes you to heart disease, and it also increases your risk of other cancers as well. So you do need to get yourself checked a little bit better, but there's no direct link between testicular cancer and prostate cancer for the average listener out there. There are some minor conditions which I'm not going to get into today.
Okay. Thank you for that. That is a great answer. And so you mentioned that it's important for people to check their testicles. So, you know, we are taught how to do the breast self-examination, you know, hands behind your head and so on, and check the four quadrants of the breast. Is there a specific way that, you know, men should be checking their testicles? And if, you know, and how often? Is it a monthly thing? Every 2 months, how often should they be checking?
Okay. Again, the stress. Biggest thing. I don't want people going out there thinking every minute that they've got an issue. I've got the patients who come in every month for a PSA test. It's not necessary. Let's relax, first of all, because you're also going to be damaging yourself, increasing your cancer. What needs to be done is, if you find something unusual, because remember, testicular cancer almost never causes pain as well. And that's exactly why it has to be checked out. It's just like prostate cancer. It almost never causes pain until it spreads. So, if you find something unusual, there's something weird going on, don't take it lightly. If you find there's a lump or you feel like there's a little bit of irritation, go and see your physician. They can check it out. You can usually pick it up for testicular cancer. The same thing with prostate cancer. Mm. But as I said, there's some guidelines which are saying that for testicular cancer, you must check yourself once a month. I would not encourage that as a general rule. If you feel something unusual, get it checked. If your partner, ask your partner, touch, see what's going on. Maybe they'll feel something. They're more likely to feel something than you because you're feeling it every day. Let them check it out. If somebody says, listen, if your partner says, listen, there's something unusual going on here, get it checked. Most guys will say, oh, no, you're talking nonsense. I'm fit. I'm healthy. I'm doing well. We're having sex. Everything's going well. It's not like that. You need to get yourself checked out about once a year, but don't be doing it. Don't be getting stressed about how often you do these things.
And that's so soothing. I think we forget that sometimes when we share information, you know, we can push patients to start panicking and and push them over the edge. And this is the last thing we need, especially during COVID-19. You want everyone to just be as happy as they can be as we plod through this pandemic, Dr. Shingai. There's so much happening in life. Exactly. It's a vaccine, it's COVID, it's this and that. So that's very soothing that people mustn't panic too much. In terms of the treatment protocols, for prostate cancer, I think let's start off with the treatment for BPH.
BPH.
Yes, okay. And then we'll move on to prostate cancer.
Yeah, just to reiterate, every man's prostate after the age of 40 gets bigger. It's just normal because of changes in our blood and things, chemicals and hormones and such. And eventually, everyone's going to get a bit of a growth of the prostate into the pipe for passing urine, which is the pipe of ejaculation, which can give some difficulty passing urine. Most of the patients are going to have BPH benign enlargement, which everyone gets. And most of the time, it's pretty easy to treat. We usually put you on some specific medications to relax the muscles of the prostate or make it shrink. And it works well. We sometimes have to do operations just to remove, not cutting. We usually use cameras and lasers and stuff to remove the part that's blocked. Pretty easy to treat.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is prostate cancer is not, the first symptoms are usually not with difficulty passing urine. They're usually, they don't have symptoms. So again, it's about going to see your physician to check that out, the examination, the PSA, and the rectal. And then if you do that once a year, 95% of the patients are also going to be cured from that as well. So it's a pretty simple process, but it's just a matter of commitment. And I think that's where a lot of the Prostate Cancer Foundation's job is. We're trying to encourage guys to understand, first of all, that there is some this condition. A lot of black guys particularly believe that they're less likely to have cancers, less likely to have heart attacks. Not true. We're all in the same boat. So let's just get ourselves checked out. And once we get ourselves checked out, you basically are saving your life.
086-000-00959 is the number to call Afropolitans. If you have any questions for Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa, Head of Urology at the Sifako Makgato University in Pretoria, and also founding member of the Prostate Cancer Foundation of South Africa. Dr. Shingai, so the treatment for prostate cancer, there's different stages of prostate cancer. So what are those stages, and how would you treat each different stage?
Excellent. Yeah, I think first of all, guys, and everyone, all the listeners, just understand that cancer is basically, for the purposes of the listeners, is based on 1 to 4, stage 1 to 1-4. Stage one means it's localized; it's not gone anywhere. It hasn't spread, because usually when cancer spreads, they actually go to something called lymph nodes or to bloodstream or to the lungs. Lymph nodes are these things that you get like a sore throat, you get like a little lump on the back of your neck. That's the lymph nodes. They're just trying to stop things from going around. Stage one for all, basically every cancer is completely curable.
Mm-hmm.
Stage four essentially means that it spreads to other parts of the body. And once it spreads to other parts of the body, that's where we can't really cure it from almost any cancer, but we can give medications which sometimes will help. Now, essentially, if we can pick it up early, stage one, maybe stage two, the treatments are basically three for the listeners. One is that we do nothing. We just follow the patient up. And about half of prostate cancers are Mickey Mouse cancers. There's even a push to try to make it, to say that it might not even be a cancer at the specific stage. But the point is that it still can give problems. So if we pick it up early, you might do nothing. We might just say, okay, let's just follow you up every couple of years. We recheck you. We do a blood test, da-di-da, and see. And you're going to be fine. If it's not the nice cancers, which, and again, that's an inverted commas, usually what we do is we either do, there are a number of different treatments, but the mainstay of treatment is to remove the cancer, what's called a radical prostatectomy, where we actually cut out the whole cancer,
mm-hmm.
and 95% cure, if it's stage one. Or else we give radiation, either with radiation seeds or with what we call external beam, where we use linear accelerators or specific machines that shoot radiation onto the cancer. Again, 95% cure. There are a few side effects, not much. You're probably looking about, there's a chance that you might have difficulty, some issues with your urination, wetting yourself. That can happen in about 1 in 5 guys after the treatment. And there is a slight risk of developing erection problems as well. Probably around 1 in 10 guys is going to have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are treatable. So that's not the issue. You shouldn't be worried about the sex or the urine problems. It's about getting itself picked up early so that we can decide on what treatments we do or not do, and then make sure that you continue to live. Because remember, if you get prostate cancer, it does take a long time for it to usually get to the point where it kills you. But if you've got a good chronological age, in other words, you're living well, you're 60, but you look like you're 50, mm-hmm. you've got another 40, 50 years ahead of you, we don't want you to get to the point where you get metastases, where cancers have spread to bones and done all these things, and now they're uncurable and they give you pain and all sorts of issues. You want to cure it before that.
086-00-00959 is the number to call Afropolitan. If you have any questions for Dr. Shingamo Tambirwa, head of urology at the SMU University in Pretoria, and he's here to share his knowledge and expertise on prostate cancer. Very important topic. You need to be screening, especially from the age of 40 going up, but you need to know what you're looking for, and you need to know what the signs and symptoms are. And as we continue the show, Afropolitan, I'll also throw in a few questions around erectile dysfunction. I think we can't have an expert on the show and not ask him about that. So Dr. Shingai, after the break, I definitely want us to have a discussion around erectile dysfunction, something that's very important to discuss and to also understand for Afropolitans. And just in terms of support for someone that's been diagnosed with prostate cancer, what's the most important thing that family members can do?
I think the most important thing is to be honest and just make sure that you really love somebody. You must tell them that they must get themselves checked out regardless. Unfortunately, one of our colleagues from the Prostate Cancer Foundation, who's a patient, Tulane Sibisi, he hasn't been able to connect, but he's a two-ocean marathon winner. Yeah. And he's had prostate cancer. He's part of the foundation. He's on treatment. He's been doing well for the last almost 20 years. He does have some issues here and there. His cancer was picked up a little bit late, but the point is that he's still doing well. And I think it's about being honest with each other. Most of us don't. We always sweep things under the carpet. And no, this guy's got a bit of an issue. He's not getting checked for A, B, C, D. Just get yourself checked out once in a while. In South Africa, the health system is, even in public, is super, and that's my main job, is super. You can get basically all tests done. And all you need to do is essentially once a year just get yourself seen by a healthcare practitioner, get whatever tests are necessary. You don't have to do multiple tests most of the time. They're just one or two. And if you get that done, you're going to be saving your life, because most guys, I mean, if you look, for example, at heart attacks and stuff, and cardiovascular disease, strokes, and stuff, 50-half of the guys and women who have a heart attack, stroke, lots of them, or die from it, are walking around perfectly normal. They feel fine, and then suddenly it just
happens. Yeah.
And that's where we have to stop it. If you can be picked up early, you can get yourself treated, you can prevent yourself from killing yourself.
We'll continue the conversation after this. And after the break, Afropolitans, I'll be discussing erectile dysfunction with Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa.
Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
We continue our conversation, Afropolitans, with Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa, Head of Urology at the SMU in Pretoria. And as I said before the break, that I was going to ask him about erectile dysfunction and just a few other things just related to men's reproductive health. So, Dr. Shingai, I think before we jump into erectile dysfunction, let's speak about premature ejaculation and then lead into erectile dysfunction, because these two topics are very important. I know that a lot of my patients come through with concerns. But the interesting thing is, when they do come through, that is not what they present as the thing for the consultation. It's almost like you have to go round and round in circles until you eventually get to the issue. So let's speak a bit about that.
Okay, yeah, no, they call it the doorknob conversation, where they've come in, they've discussed their blood pressure, body by 15, 20 minutes later, and then just as they say, oh, by the way, I'm not so good in the bedroom. I think for the healthcare professionals, remember that sexuality is a big part of everyone's life.
Yeah.
It's not too difficult to deal with male sexuality or female sexuality. Female sexuality is a bit more complex, because women are more clever than guys again. But essentially, for the average person out there, there are basically three things they should be looking at. One is the lack of feeling of having sex, decreased libido, which is based a lot on the man chemical testosterone. hormone in our bloodstream. Mm-hmm. And it does go down from about the age of 30. It needs to be checked through a blood test. It can't be done just by feelings and taking things from the chemist over the counter. It, first of all, it doesn't really work. And if it really was working, it would probably kill you for various reasons, because oral testosterone actually can cause increased heart attacks and strokes and stuff. The second is if you are ejaculating too quickly, and that's called premature ejaculation. We used to say that it would be based if you have ejaculate before you penetrate or within 30 seconds of penetration, but we've now changed our opinion. It's more about whether you feel comfortable or not. Some guys who are going on for 5-10 minutes, by the way, guys, the data from America, the average guy will ejaculate within about 3.5 to 5 minutes after penetration. I'm sure in Africa we're much better, but at the end of the day, it's not that long. And as a separate thing for foreplay, because remember, foreplay is a very big thing with your partner, especially female partners, and only about 20% of females come from penetration alone regularly, and it usually takes about 21 minutes, 25 minutes. So foreplay is super important as well, so just continue. So, but premature ejaculation, it's extremely common. About 80% of guys have it at some stage in our lives. We now know that the major reason for premature ejaculation is because of a chemical in the brain called serotonin, which is too low. Mm-hmm. So what we often do is off-label, we use medications which can inhibit the serotonin but weren't designed for premature ejaculation, and the most common is a form of antidepressant which can raise it, but it's super treatable as well. And about 20%, 1 in 5 guys have what we call congenital premature ejaculation, which means that you, from the first time you've had sex, you've been ejaculating too quickly, you've got a problem with your partner. If it's bothering you, by the way, because don't worry if it's not bothering the partner, that's not the issue. It's only if you're bothering you and the partner both that's an issue. And then the third one, which is the one that most guys are most concerned about, is the erectile dysfunction, where the erection doesn't work. The best erections for guys between the ages of 18 and 22.
And then after that,
we all start going down, guys. And all these comments in the bar where you're talking, oh no, I'm going for 20 minutes. I do it 10 times a day. Most of that's rubbish, guys. So most of it is human. If you're uncomfortable with your erections, they're not working properly, remember that the main blood vessel to the penis is a little bit smaller than the main blood vessel to the heart, which is a little bit smaller than the main blood vessel to the brain, which is a little bit smaller than the main blood vessel to the leg. Now, be it sugar diabetes, be it cholesterol, be it high blood pressure, all that's happening is that there's a damage to the inside coating, the skin coating on the inside of your blood vessels. Mm-hmm. They're causing damage to there, and that's what's causing the problem. So it's not the sugar, it's not the blood pressure, it's not the cholesterol, it's the damage to the skin covering. And once the skin covering gets damaged, it gets something called atheromas, which are like scars inside the blood vessels, which then can cause blockages of your blood flowing through there, which then can cause you to heart attack, stroke, loss of limb. And if the blood vessel to the penis, which is slightly smaller than the one to the heart, is damaged, it's more likely you're going to get erection problems before you get a heart attack, stroke, loss of limb. So erection, sexual problems are not Mickey Mouse. You need to get them checked out. And if you do have erectile dysfunction, and by the way, everyone has failures, be it ejaculating quickly or feeling not like having sex or not having erection, it happens sometimes, but we usually like to assign like about 3 months continuous having a problem, then you should get yourself checked out. And you should be getting yourself checked out anyways. And if you do have erectile dysfunction, it's relatively simple to treat, because first of all, you're going to protect yourself from heart attack. Most of the treatments that we use, including the mainstay of treatment for erections, which is what we call the PDE5, the Viagra, the Vitra, the Alice and stuff, they actually protect you from heart attacks because they're increasing the blood flow to not only your penis, but also to your heart, your brain, and stuff like that. So the treatments will also help you. So if you have a sexual problem, don't hide it. Most of the data from Australia particularly shows that the average guy who's had no erections will only see his physician after about 5 years. During that 5 years, he's avoiding his partner, he has a man cave or something, and he doesn't he's spend less time with his partner, this and the other. No intimacy is dangerous. Sexual dysfunction is a big issue, and it's also an indicator of some types of cancers, including prostate cancer. We know that there is, as we said earlier, that the more sex you have, the less likely you're going to get nasty prostate cancers. And the treatments are also super important for protection, depending on what we're doing. And we don't want to get to the stage where we're actually going to get rid of the man chemicals to mess up your feelings of sex. So get yourself checked out early.
086-00-00959. Always something new to learn with a doctor's appointment. And tonight is no different. Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa is educating us Afropolitans. Make sure that you listen to the podcast when it's uploaded tomorrow. Dr. Shingai, so for about 3 years of my life as a general practitioner, I performed circumcisions, right? So there was a program that came into the country and we were encouraged to do voluntary medical male circumcision. And after some time, your patients started coming back and complaining of decreased sensation, problems with erection and so on. I did a bit of my own reading and I realized that, actually, maybe this is, maybe I shouldn't be doing this anymore. So I've stopped performing circumcisions. And, I now maintain my stance is that circumcision is great if it's for medical reasons or for cultural reasons or religious reasons. But other than that, people must keep their foreskins. But that's me. So what are your thoughts around voluntary medical male circumcision? What are your thoughts on it?
Okay, my disclaimer, I'm employed by the Department of Health, so we do know that there is a drive for male medical circumcisions, mainly for HIV. But then I'm going to take a step back to say that it's not compulsory for everybody. Circumcision is... interesting, actually, it was developed many years ago, but mainly in some of the Middle Eastern countries, mainly because there's very little water in some of those in the Arab and Jewish areas, and so it was part for hygiene. So that's one of the things. It is religious for some people, but it also can be for medical conditions, like if you can't retract the foreskin, which is not that common. But we're using it mainly for in South Africa because of HIV, because we do know that it does decrease the risk of HIV transmission to men, not to women, but to men only, by up to 70%. But having said that, it's not the be-all and end-all. Still general protective activities, using condoms, making abstinence, whatever necessary, is probably much better. But the thing is that it does decrease the risk a little bit for various reasons, mainly to do with some immune cells on the foreskin and stuff like that. But it is part of the Department of Health plan. There are some controversies about it. For example, the fact that the treatment for HIV is so, if you have HIV, then again, please get yourself checked. You can only get it checked if you get a blood test.
Yeah.
Or your medical practitioner. You've got the same life expectancy as a guy or a woman who is HIV negative if you're on adequate treatment. So that's one of the things. The second thing is that it does, some people say it makes you less likely to ejaculate quickly, better sex. It's really dependent on each person, and some people do have diminishing sexual enjoyment from circumcision. So I wouldn't say that everyone must get a circumcision. It's just, it's a matter of choice. You have to make a decision on what you think is the most important reason why you're doing it.
Yeah.
If you're doing it just because for HIV, that's fine, but it's not the be-all and end-all. Similarly, when it comes to sex, it can change things. Some people get more problems.
And I didn't believe the patients, Doc. I think this is what breaks my heart. It's a pity I can't sew back their foreskins. But when they came back and reported that things had changed, I just said, no, man, give it 6 months, you'll be fine. And 6 months later, the patient wasn't fine. And a year later, the patient wasn't fine. So, but let's take a call. We have Musa on the line. Just there's enough time for one more call. Musa, thank you for calling in. And what questions do you have for Dr. Shingai Mutambirwa?
Hi, doctor. Thank you very much for taking me in. I just wanted to have a question around the prostate gland enlargement because I suffered from that and initially I didn't know what was going on. And for us, it's not easy just to get a doctor to check up on you on that. So then the urologist checked me and said it's a prostate gland enlargement. Due to the fact of how the exercise was done in establishing the head, I got a shock of my life, so I didn't go back ever after. So I just wanted to find out what causes it,
What is it and how does one avoid it for future? Because it does come time and again. Initially, I thought that maybe it is, has to do with food that I take that could have some effect to trigger it. So initially, I just stopped eating certain kind of food. But yeah, it was called prostate gland enlargement.
Okay, thank you.
How old are you? Sorry.
Now I'm 40. When I went in, I was in my early 30s. And I had suffered from it quite some time, probably from the early 20s. But I didn't have an idea what was it. You know, it was just one of those pains that comes through and then you just ignore, you know.
Okay. Yeah,
thanks,
I think it's a very interesting question because the point is that it's very unlikely this is the normal prostatic enlargement that we're talking about. Remember, as I said, from about the age of 40, that's when the prostate starts to get bigger generally, and that's usually because of there's lots of reasons. Again, heart attack, the same things that cause heart attacks and cancers also predispose you to this enlargement. And there are things you can do to prevent it, which are exercise, diet, doing all those things. What you're probably talking about is something called prostatitis, which is an inflammation of the prostate. And there's a condition which we call chronic pelvic pain syndrome, which unfortunately we don't really understand very well. It happens more to women than to men. Mm. Where you get pain in the lower abdomen. And each organ can be involved. You can have vaginal pain. You can have prostate pain. You can have pain in the testicles. You can have pain in the in the penis. We don't know what the cause is. It's usually not life-threatening. It's not cancer or anything. But we, as I said, we don't really know what the cause is. So what we do is we usually assign it to this chronic pelvic pain syndrome. We do have to exclude infections, cancers, various other things. But once that's done, we usually try to target the organ which is giving the most problems. And what the gentleman was probably talking about is that his chronic pelvic pain syndrome was mainly affecting his urinary system. And so he was probably put on treatment for prostates, like we use for prostates when and they get bigger, which usually there are basically three types. There's one which is called alpha blocker, which relaxes the muscles of the prostate. And then there's another one called the 5-alpha reductase inhibitor, which makes the prostate shrink. We use a lot of different things, but I don't think that's a specific, that's a slightly different condition. And I think the biggest issue with chronic pelvic pain syndrome, be it prostatitis, vulvodynia, problems with the vagina, it's that we don't know what the cause is. It's difficult to explain to patients. We don't really know what to do most of the time. So my advice is if it's really giving you a lot of problems, maybe just get a referral from your treating physician to somebody who's got a special interest in it so they can have a discussion because it is a bit of a complex situation. But the short answer is that it's almost certainly not life-threatening.
Well, thank you so much for that, Dr. Shingai Mutambira. Always great having you on the show. We always learn a lot.
And as
I said, Afropolitans, do make sure that tomorrow you download the podcast. Make sure you listen. There's a lot to learn from this show. Afropolitans, do stay home. Stay safe. Kaisi Tuli coming up at 8 p.m. I'll be back tomorrow at 7.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.